This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Hosted by Katie Milkman, an award-winning behavioral scientist and author of the best-selling book, How to Change, Choiceology is a show about the psychology and economics behind our decisions. Hear true stories from Nobel laureates, authors, athletes, and everyday people about why we do the things we do. Listen to Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
I think everybody sort of feels like 15 years old all the time when it comes to responsibilities. Like, I really do. I really think we're like, I'm supposed to know how to grocery shop. I'm supposed to know how to change my furnace filter. I'm supposed to know what a furnace filter does. I don't know.
Welcome to How To. I'm Amanda Ripley. Do you ever feel like you just cannot get a handle on your life, your laundry, your to-do list? Our listener Samantha wrote to us after she and her husband had moved from a condo to a bigger house in Pennsylvania to suit their growing family. And they had it all in some ways. Two little kids, a house, a job for her husband that allowed Samantha to stay home with the children, even a lawn. So why did it feel like they were constantly failing to do the things adults are supposed to do?
Oh, you want to put stuff in your basement? Oh, well, it needs to be waterproof. With the list of everything that sort of needed to get done and with like limited time and funds, it was very difficult to know where to start. We're both very like do our research, like read some books kind of people. There was stuff that was like how to take care of your home for dummies. And it was like carpentry skills. And it was like, no, but like,
I don't want to build the house.
Right. I don't want to build the house, but I do want to know, like, how do we organize stuff?
This feeling of being lost and overwhelmed started with the move, which is probably inevitable, but it didn't go away, even after the moving boxes did. Samantha and her husband started to feel like they just couldn't measure up to everyone around them, whether it was their neighbors with the perfect lawns.
We were like thinking to ourselves, we definitely have the worst house in the neighborhood. I wonder if our neighbors know. And then the pandemic hit and some industrious kids in our neighborhood started a landscaping business. And then we had neighbors who thanked us for finally. It's like, I mean, like we were like outside and they were like, oh, it looks so much better. Thank you for finally doing this. And we were like, oh, gotta love passive aggressive. This isn't even passive aggressive.
Or the other parents who somehow had time to can their own vegetables.
I'm one of the few friends that I have that like grew up around here that looks at me like,
can?
Yeah. That's awesome that you have that, but that looks like a lot of work.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Just stop worrying about what the neighbors and the canners think. Who cares? But this wasn't just about trying to keep up with the Joneses. Samantha and her husband weren't canning or landscaping, but they still felt like they were drowning.
We shouldn't need to use as much effort as we do to get the dishes done, to get the laundry put away, to get those daily grind things taken care of so that we could get to the bigger stuff. Right. I think that was the thing that we sort of struggled with, was like, we feel like this should be easier.
On today's show, we're going to try to make the daily grind a little less grueling. Our guide is Kendra Adachi, and you may know her as the Lazy Genius. She's a best-selling author and podcaster, and she's helped many people figure out how to manage the mess.
I think that this undercurrent of feeling behind in your life and that it feels like it should be easier and that you don't know where to start is so deeply, deeply familiar. We think that there is this toolkit of being an adult that everyone seems to know the answers for. Everyone knows the rules. Everyone knows the unspoken rules. And we're the idiot. We're the one who doesn't know. And I just want to tell you that, like, that's not true. We all feel like we don't know what we're doing.
Kendra has specific steps you can take to prioritize what's most important to you and work smarter, not harder. And ultimately let go of some of the things that just don't matter. So put that laundry down and grab a pen. We'll be right back.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on credit worthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com. This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Choiceology is a show all about the psychology and economics behind our decisions. Each episode shares the latest research in behavioral science and dives into themes like, can we learn to make smarter decisions, and the power of do-overs. The show is hosted by Katie Milkman. She's an award-winning behavioral scientist, professor at the Wharton School, and author of the best-selling book, How to Change. In each episode, Katie talks to authors, historians, athletes, Nobel laureates, and everyday people about why we make irrational choices and how we can make better ones to avoid costly mistakes. Listen and subscribe at schwab.com/podcast or find it wherever you listen.
That drowning feeling we all have from time to time when we just can't keep up with our to-do list? Well, today we're going to learn how to tread water and maybe even swim. But first, we need to accept that the waves are always going to be there.
I give myself permission to recognize that at any moment, because of my circumstances, because of my hormones, because I have a kid who's homesick, because I have any number of things that happen in my life that are out of my control, right? That there are going to be things that come into my life that mess up my plans, that mess up what I intended, that mess up the calm. And for me to hold my own plans lightly, to hold my own sanity lightly, and to be kind to myself when things come into my life that make me go, oh, wait, oh, no, what happened? I was doing so good, and now I feel like I'm behind again. To stop and take a deep breath and say, hey, you're doing fine. You have tools. Right now you just need to take a deep breath and realize that the drowning is not literally going to drown you, that you can step back and see this a little more intelligently. But if we don't start with that kindness, I think we're going to continually feel like we're not enough.
It sounds like what you're talking about is avoiding the double burden. Like
yes.
There's the one burden of feeling underwater, and then there's a second burden that we can bring on top of that, which is feeling bad that you feel underwater.
100%. Right? Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Like generalizing that out to just, you know, being incapable, being incompetent, not having your act together.
Right.
And you're saying, let's just do one burden.
Let's just do one. Let's just do one. One is plenty.
Right.
One is enough.
Right. And I'm curious, Kendra, like, how did you, like, I love your podcast. I love the way you simplify by prioritizing as opposed to pretending that it's simple or that it's easy to simplify.
Oh, can I steal that line? That is so good.
I think I stole it from you. You steal it right back.
That's really
sister,
good.
Anytime. So were you at some point trying to do everything and have it look perfect and then kind of, how did you get to a place where you could hold, I love how you said, hold your sanity lightly.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So I have grown up as a perfectionist for sure. Part of that was just kind of like survival in my home. It was a pretty unstable home life. And I grew up in the South. Like I live in North Carolina. I've lived here my whole life. I mean, every culture and every part of the country has things about it, right? But there is definitely something unique about being the oldest girl in a Southern family that has a list of things you're supposed to do and a way that you're supposed to be. And
yeah, it's like a 4,000-page
rule book. Oh, my word. It's the longest encyclopedia ever of how to be a person. And you try to be a genius about everything. We're like, okay, we're going to do this, and I'm going to get it together, and no one is going to know that I don't like this at all, that I don't even like canning, but it looks pretty in pictures and it's what everybody does. So that's what I'm going to do, right? So you try to be a genius about everything. But then when you hit a wall, and everybody does, I think that most people, no, that's not fair, but I think a lot of people experience their wall in the form of having children, because that does change a lot of things. But there is something that happens in your life, a new job, a new home, a new place that you're living, a diagnosis. There are a lot of things that hit us where we are confronted with the fallibility of this genius plan. It's like, oh, this isn't going to work anymore. I cannot maintain this. So what we do, though, is we swing far to the other side, to the lazy side, where you say, well, I'm just not going to care about anything.
Kendra says that we as a society have come to think of being a hot mess as authentic and being super organized as fake.
Like, if you deeply care about things, if you spend your time on something that you love, you're pretending. You're pretending. And on the other side, that if you have someone come over and your house is a wreck and you're like, I know, everything's just the worst, somehow you're being more real. And neither of those things are true. And both of them take a lot of energy. And
so it's like a false dichotomy.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. And so what I want to do...
Why does it take a lot of energy to care about nothing?
Oh, I know, right? Because we are human beings with souls and priorities and things that we care about and passions
still,
and love.
It still bothers us and on some
still,
level.
It still bothers you.
It doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good.
That's true. I can attest to that.
Yes.
And it's hard. Yes. It's really hard. It's really hard to manage those things. And so what I want to do right now, I just want to affirm, Samantha, you didn't know it, you are already a lazy genius. Because when you said the thing about canning, I was like, put my arms in the air. I was so excited. Because here's the thing. A lazy genius is a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you are the only person who gets to decide that. There are plenty of things in my life that matter more than canning. So you know what? I'm going to be lazy about canning, and I'm going to buy cans that someone else filled. And that's great, you know?
And they are awesome at it.
And they're so good at it. Exactly. And so what I really hope, just like...
And I'm not worried about botulism.
No, right, right.
Right, because they're so freaking good at it.
Exactly, exactly.
Right, right. And so it's like figuring out... And it is hard, right? In a hyper-consumptive culture where we're inundated with a lot of products and pictures and social media posts, it is hard to figure out what matters most. What are some things that really do matter to you, Samantha?
So the thing that matters the most to us was to be home and be present with them, maximizing our time together. Like, that is our priority. So also with that in mind, about wanting to raise good humans has been a lot of narratives about parenting, such as, your kids should see you doing the labor it takes to do your home. You should involve your kids in the labor that it takes to take care of the home that they live. And I think those are great and wonderful. However, I just want to put on headphones and like do some of my batch cooking and listen to my podcasts.
Mm. Yeah. One of the most challenging things that I come across in my work every single day is people who don't know how to name what matters to them. They don't know what it is that you just said. They get a little bit focused on the minutiae, and they've just been in it so long. You know, they've just been in that deep water and responding to that urgent for in whatever their season of life is for such a long time that they don't really know what matters to them anymore. And so the fact that you and your husband and your family, that you all have named things as kind of the guiding light, the guiding force, the engine of your decisions is incredibly wonderful and helpful.
That's our first step. Take some time to reflect on the big picture of your life. Consult your imaginary future self. What do you think will matter most to you looking back at this time? Then we can move into the second step, essentialize.
Get rid of what is in the way so that you only have in your life what is essential to what matters. Now, the difficulty in that, we won't say difficulty, we'll say challenge. We'll make it a little more positive. We'll say the challenge in that is that where you're like, well, Kendra, there's so many, like, what do you mean? There's so many things in the way. And also a lot of those things are necessary, like upkeep of the house. And so that's why I say start small, which is the most annoying advice of all time. It is. I hear it. I know it. I hate it too.
It's way better than simplify.
Right? So. It's true. Because not everybody wants to simplify. That's not a priority for everyone. Right. Exactly. Rather than saying, okay, well, what is in the way of family time? We could start there. And you might have a list of things that feel like they're in the way of family time. But I want to challenge you to try to keep making your problems smaller, because smaller problems have an easier solution to find and one that works a lot quicker. And then as you kind of solve these small problems every day and you iterate with what's working and what's not, and you kindly adjust as you live your life in the season that you're in, because that's really important too. You're a stay-at-home mom with two young kids in a big old house. That's a very particular season than being in a high-rise, you know? So, so all that to say, you know, start small. Start small with where you are. So based on what you just said matters to you, can you think of a smaller challenge, a smaller problem, a smaller pain point that is in the way of one of those broader things that matters?
My external pain point is, feels very life seasonal right now. So I have an under 1 year old and I have a 4 year old, and the chore that is driving me up a wall.
Let's fix
is
that.
Managing their wardrobe.
Okay.
It is so annoying. I have talked to my friends about this before, and I'm just like, of all the things I thought that was going to come with parenting, the amount of time that I have to spend being like, they've outgrown this, and like taking stock of their wardrobe with this, with the seasons changing, and like it, that, but that feels life seasonal.
Well, I think it's really important too, as you, Samantha, you were sort of sharing that pain point almost apologetically, like, well, it's a seasonal problem. It's not. And I would say 90% of our problems are season of life problems. They are. We try and force solutions from other seasons into the one that we're in now. And when they don't work, we think something's wrong with us. Or we feel bad for being like, this is like a problem, but it's so small. It's just my kids' clothes. I should probably have bigger problems, or more like I should care about other things differently than it, that this is my problem that I'm naming. And I just want to say, like, no, you're doing the right thing.
It sounds almost like it's important the stories we tell ourselves about the pain points.
Yes.
Right? Like, is it, like for me, one of my pain points, if I turn on the camera right now, you'd see around my office like piles of crap. And I have a lot of shame around this, because every time I walk my office, I'm like, I've got to clean up my office. Like, it just feels like, you know, messy bed, messy head, you know, that whole, like, if you don't have organization in your office, it probably reflects a deeper disarray, right, cognitively, and that you're not on top of things. And there's so many stories tied to these piles. And is part of it like changing the story?
Yes, I think it is. That's why we love Brené Brown. It is. People have said this phrase all the time, but we should all over ourselves. Like, I should have a cleaner office. I should have a better system for my kids' clothes. I should help them, you know, do X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. And whenever I find myself saying I should do something, it's not that I'm wrong. It's not that it's automatically wrong. Because some things, like I should pay my bills. I really should. Because there are consequences to not doing that. Now, do I love it? I don't. And are there things that I could do to make it easier for myself? Of course there are. So it's not that should is automatically like, this thing isn't real or doesn't count or you should ignore it. But it's worth paying attention to. If you are saying, I should probably do this, why? Why do you think that's the case? Is it because someone else does it? And that someone else has a life that you're like, well, it feels like they've got it together a little more than I do. Maybe I should do that. Or is it because I've experienced the consequences of that choice? And even though I don't want to do it, I probably should. That would probably be a good thing to do.
Okay, so we've prioritized what matters most to us, not to other people, and then tried to identify some of the pain points, including the everyday stories we tell ourselves. When we come back, we're going to roll up our sleeves and make some changes, the kind that stick. So don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Defender. For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with thoroughly modern design. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, and the interior is built with robust materials and integrity. The Defender capability is legendary, whether you're facing off road challenges or harsh weather conditions. Built for the modern explorer, the Defender 110 lets you go further and do more. And cargo capacity means more room for your gear. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. A vehicle made to go further, the Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back with Samantha and lazy genius Kendra Adachi. Before the break, Kendra was taking us through the first few steps to making your mess manageable. After you identify your priority, how do you make it part of your everyday routine?
That's why I think starting small is really important. Then you organize that. It could be literal things that you organize in a closet. It could be the story in your head. Put it in its place. Where does it truly belong? Based on what matters, and now that you've gotten rid of what's in the way of that. The fourth step is to personalize it, to feel like yourself in the process of what it, in the thing that you're doing. How can you feel like yourself? How can you remove the expectations that other people have of you? How can you feel alive and energized, like listening to the music you want to listen to when you're cleaning your bathroom, as opposed to making it a teachable moment, which you don't really want to do right now, and that's okay, you know? Fourth is personalize. And then the fifth one is to systemize, is to keep that in a flow. Because a lot of times we'll do something, we'll create a system, we'll organize, we'll make a list of the chores that we need to do for our house, the regular upkeep things. But if we don't have a system to go back to it, you know, to kind of keep it moving, then we just remain frustrated. We've just prolonged our frustration to 6 months from now when we haven't done those chores. And so that's kind of the process of that you can apply to any small problem, like your kids' clothes, like whatever. But you're absolutely right what you said, Amanda. So much of it is about the stories that we're telling ourselves about these things. And we want to put those in the right place too. We want to tell ourselves the truth about how we see our lives, how we see what matters, how we see our chores, how we see our relationships, how we see our neighbors. Like, let's focus on what really matters here. What really matters with your relationship with your neighbors, and you didn't say this at all, like that you want to impress them. I don't think that matters to you. Based on what you said, reading between the lines, that does not matter to you. But you do want to feel connected to them. You know what? You do want to feel connected to them. If that's the case, let's think about, like, how can I connect with my neighbors even though I don't plant flowers in my yard the way they do? I have a very similar neighborhood situation where all of my neighbors are retired and their yards are immaculate. They are beautiful yards. They are amazing. And I'm just like, is the grass mowed? Maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't care. I'm very lazy about my yard. And so there are things that we can do to connect with each other, even though we have different priorities. Isn't that the whole goal of being a person, being like a community of people, being like a nation even, is that we can connect with each other, even though we have different priorities? Like, it's, and doing that in those small ways, like working those muscles in small ways, like we have different priorities in our yard, but we can still be neighbors. Like it helps us practice those things in really small human ways.
And I think for me, the other thing that has been so, I don't know, like it's expanding who is in my community. And also asking for practical help has been like so necessary for this stage of life.
Is there an example that comes to mind of how you've let your neighbors in?
In August, I got mastitis, which is a clogged milk duct from nursing. Mm-hmm. Couple urgent care trips, like it was bad,
painful,
and very painful, and I couldn't do stuff, and we were sort of like at the mercy. We were more so at the mercy, and at that exact same moment, there was a hand, foot, and mouth outbreak.
Of course, there was.
So it was one of my friends who's kid had gotten over it a couple of days before we were like done, knew I was also having mastitis and was like, what do you need? And I knew her good enough to know if I asked for something, like she would do it. And I told her, I was like, I really need my kitchen cleaned because the point where it's in right now is so overwhelming. And she like came with a meal from her freezer, like, and cleaned my kitchen. And it felt so vulnerable at that point. But like, if one of my friends had asked that of me, I would have done it in a heartbeat.
Right. And that's how you create and strengthen connection.
Absolutely.
Right? Is by asking for help and taking it and giving it. Yeah.
And I think that, I love that. I think that's an important distinction too, is that there's a difference in asking for help and taking help when it's offered. I think that both of those have a different level of difficulty depending on the person. Like at this actual moment, at this actual moment. So I have, when we are recording, I have my second book releases in 7 days and it has been a cluster. My life is very stressful right now, very stressful. And I texted, my mom is watching my kids this afternoon, so I don't have to do school pickup so I can have a longer day. And she texted me and she said, do you still want me to get your kids? And I was like, yes, please. Thank you so much. And I just said, I'm just drowning. Like there's so much to do. And I know it's only a season. I'm in a season of a busy work project. And I know it's going to be over soon. It's not always going to be this way, but it is this way right now. And and it's a struggle and it's really hard. And she said, well, I have a couple of hours this morning. Is there anything I can do? And I was like, I was almost said, no, there's nothing. And then I thought, my refrigerator is a disaster. My refrigerator has not been cleaned out in a long time and I don't even know what's in there. And we're just like playing Tetris right now. It's like Jenga and Tetris together inside my refrigerator. And can you clean out my fridge? And my mom is in my house right now cleaning out my fridge.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't I didn't need her to do that. My life is not dependent on whether my fridge is clean. But guess what? That is that has been a pain point for me because every time I open my fridge,
every time you open it,
every single
like,
time it's overwhelming emotionally and logistically.
Yeah. Like I remember in the beginning of the pandemic, my son, you know, like a lot of kids, he created a little flyer and put it under, you know, on all the doorsteps in our neighborhood. Like if you need help, get into the supermarket or if you need this, if you need that.
That's so precious.
And like, you know, and other kids did it too, which was great. And it was like that moment of feeling like solidarity. We're all in this together. And like no one took him up on it, probably because they felt like
they felt weird.
They didn't need him
as
badly as other people might. Right. And so they were trying to be, in their own way, good neighbors.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, I do the same thing when friends offer to help. And you feel like they don't mean it. But, you know, you got to know that you're doing them a favor too sometimes.
Absolutely.
Right. When they, yeah.
Absolutely. You said it before, Amanda. You said, like, that's how we connect with each other.
Here's our next rule. Connection is a priority for a lot of people, and rightly so. But part of strengthening your connection is asking for help, accepting help, and giving help. All three matter.
You know that that metaphor of, like, glass balls and rubber balls? You know, you want to pay attention to if you're juggling all these balls, there are some things in your life that are glass balls and you really don't want to drop them. The rubber balls you can drop, right? That metaphor floats around. And I want to actually give permission to be like, you're also going to drop the glass balls sometimes. Like you're going to do it. And because if you have the expectation that you're not going to, and when you do, you're going to feel terrible about it. And so I call myself a professional permission giver. I'm just like, hey, it's going to be okay. You're going to mess up. You're not going to be able to manage every moment. You are not going to be able to manage your life, like set it and forget it. You are not a robot. We can't optimize everything. So instead of trying to do that, let's look at some principles that you can apply in your own specific life that can help you.
Which brings us to our last rule. It's really helpful to remember that you're always in a season of life. And just like the real calendar, it will change eventually. In the meantime, though, don't force yourself to wear a winter coat in the dog days of summer. That's probably not going to help.
I think that we need to be honest about our seasons. And we think that what worked in a previous season is supposed to work now. And instead, I want us to just be more mindful and present with the season that we're in. And usually when people do that, a lot of life change occurs on a more soul level, which then kind of spills out into the practical. You can have order in places that matter to you. You can. But in order for that to happen, there are a lot of other things that are going to be let go. There are metaphorical closets that you keep closed, and there are physical closets that you keep closed, you know? But we just don't have enough messaging that that third way exists.
Yeah. 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 I think the season of life thing is an important one because you feel like this season's going to last forever, but before you know it, you do have time to mow the lawn, and you've maybe too much time.
That's why your retired neighbors are all in their yard because they don't have to do as many things as they used to.
Right.
They figured it out.
Every time you tell them, wow, your flowers look great. I hope they're like, yeah, your kids look amazing. Right. They're alive. They're still alive. Your flowers are alive. Your kids are alive. Done.
High five. There it is.
Exactly. If you enjoyed this episode, you might want to check out a previous episode we did called How to Stop Having It All Before You End Up With Nothing. That's like the perfect pairing for this episode. Or check out How to Can All Your Own Fruits and Vegetables. Just joking. We have not done that episode. Not yet. Thanks to Samantha for sharing her story and her lessons learned with us, and to Kendra for all her great advice. She mentioned during the show that she has a new book coming out. It's called The Lazy Genius Kitchen. Go check it out. And by the way, we recently got a listener letter we wanted to share after our mascot episode. Becky works at Robert E. Lee University, and after the death of George Floyd, she felt compelled to try to change the name. So as she wrote us, she drafted a letter to the president of the university and the board of trustees, and she shared it with some of her friends. And then before she knew it, the idea had grown into a large community of people, numbering in the thousands, who wrote letter after letter demanding change. In July of 2021, though, the board voted to keep the name. It was a massive disappointment for Becky, but at the same time, she wrote, there were some significant changes. The name of the school didn't change, but the portrait of Robert E. Lee was removed from diplomas. Founders Day was discontinued. What was Lee Chapel is now University Chapel, and important conversations were started. Just like our listener in our mascot episode, she found that there was opportunity in the conflict, even when everything didn't go the way she wanted. Thank you for your letter, Becky. Other listeners, if you have thoughts on episodes or advice of your own, please keep them coming. We love hearing from you. You can always email us at howto@slate.com or leave us a voicemail at 646-495-4001. And we might have you on the show. And if you like what you heard today, please give us a rating and a review and tell a friend. That helps us help more people. How To's executive producer is Derek John. Rosemary Belson produces the show. Our theme music is by Hannes Brown, remixed by Merritt Jacob, our technical director. Charles Duhigg created this show. I'm Amanda Ripley. Thanks for listening.